time. It's all through the scriptures. Fasting is a general thing all through the scriptures, right? And so, and there's something about that consecration and prayer with it that you'll see God move. And it's, I believe it's more of a consecration thing that you say, you know what, body, you don't do what you want to do. I tell you what to do, right? And it's kind of one of those deals. Amen? So in that, some of y'all were asking, so when is Spirit Life, our class on Thursday nights, starting up again? I'm so glad you asked, because it's starting up this Thursday night. And so what this Thursday night's going to be, I'm going to teach very short on the subject of prayer. Maybe your prayer life needs a jump start, and maybe you need to learn a little bit more about prayer. What do I do? Like sometimes, you know, if you're new into prayer, you kind of go to God and go, here I am. Really like you, God. You're great. You know, you don't really know, like, how do you pray, and how do you, it's less religious than you think, but it's more purposeful than you think. So I just want to challenge you. This Thursday night at 7:30, we're going to be doing Spirit Life on the topic of prayer for the next several weeks. And God's really impressed on me to be more prayerful this year over the church and for us as a church body. Amen? So I think that's it. Is that it? 7:30 on Thursday night. And we'll pray. If you come, we'll pray for you. We'll pray over you. Whether you want to or not, that is not true. The opposite. If you would like prayer for different situations, we're going to do that. We're going to do some corporate prayer and some praying over people. Amen? And you never know. God may give you the word for the year right there on Thursday nights. Amen? So be a part of that. All right. Let me pray just for me. All right. God, I pray that you would help me deliver your word the way you'd have me deliver it. God, I thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. So, it's 2018. Here we go. Well, it's not yet. Not yet. Like, in just a few hours. And almost, it's 2018. So, my question for you is up on the screen, the first slide. Do you want to start over? The title of my message for the next 3 weeks is Reset. Is Reset. Do you want to start over? Yes or no? And it's interesting that the yes is already highlighted. Are there some areas that we need to reset in our lives? Maybe your walk with God needs to reset. Maybe it needs a total reset, right? Maybe you're in your marriage. Maybe you need a little reset. No elbows going on right now. Maybe your marriage, maybe your relationships need a reset. Things to start to, do you want to start over? The word reset actually means to set back to the original position. To set back to the original position. For you gamers, we know what reset means, right? Some of y'all remember this reset button years ago. And for y'all PS4 and all your high-tech people, this is what they call the Atari 2600. Yes. Yeah, I actually have an old replica model of that with some of the cool games that are still there. And I tried to sit down with my son and played it, and he was like, this is, like, awful, Dad. No, we didn't even play Frogger. We played, like, Tank, right, and Pong. Tank. Remember Tank? And it bounced all over the thing. Those are great. I need to bust that out today. Game reset. Some of us, you can just leave that up there. Reset. I remember, you know, the reset button was great because, you know, on the Atari, especially the Atari 2600, you would have that, like, the screen would, like, just freeze up. Remember that? And what would you have to do? Put the little reset button, right? The game locks up. Or maybe, you know what, sometimes you're just having a bad level, right? You're just doing really bad right off the bat on that game. And you're like, this is going nowhere. So what are you going to do? Reset, right? Or maybe you just need a good old start over, right, for your game. You just got to start over, start the whole thing over, and just reset, right? For computers, right? We do resets on our computers, right? Who hasn't been saved by the Control-Alt-Delete function on your computers. Right? Right? Some, you know, and if that didn't work, you just did a good hard restart, right? Which basically is just turn it off and turn it back on, right? That kind of hard restart. You needed that restart because it got stuck or it got, you know, the little pinwheel of death, right? That just sits there and spins forever and like it says loading, but you know it's not loading. It just circles. The only thing that computer's doing right then is this. That's the only thing that is going on. What about your phones, right? Especially being an iPhone owner. Sometimes your phone is just running slow. And not just because they do it on purpose. If you know anything about the latest lawsuits that are going on. Maybe your phone is just running slow, right? You push the little button on the side and you restart it, right? Sometimes just a good restart helps your phone to kind of get back up and get going at a normal speed, right? You think, like, when was the last time I turned off my phone and, like, turned it back on? It's like been months, right? So a good restart, it helps. So the question for us is this. Do you need a restart in 2018? Maybe you've been running kind of slow, right? Maybe you have that that blank screen look. Like things just aren't moving anywhere. Or maybe you just need a do-over. Or maybe everything in your life has just crashed this 2017. It's just crashed. Everything that you wanted just has just not come about. And matter of fact, it's not only not moving forward, but it's crashed and gone backwards. Maybe you need a reset. A reset. You know what? Resets, the problem with resets is resets always take time, right? They're always inconvenient. You know, when you're sitting in your computer and you have to use the Control-Alt-Delete, try everything before the Control-Alt-Delete because you don't want to take the, you know, we're so fast-paced, we don't want to take that extra minute to restart our computer because it takes time and it kind of takes you out of your mode, right? It kind of takes you out of your flow. But when you do, you're better off for it when you do a reset. So how do we get a life reset? That's the question. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. How do I do a life reset? Well, I want to look at somebody from the Bible, a man that lived about 1,400 years B.C., he was born while his people were under oppression of Egypt. And so, just to give you a little backstory, maybe some of you are new to this whole, like, I want to just kind of give you a backstory of what's going on. And obviously, some of us would know already that we're talking about the person of Moses. Well, to understand Moses' story, we need to understand Joseph's story, right? Joseph goes in to, long story short, I'll just back up all the way to the beginning. But we'll start with Joseph. Joseph, the story is that Joseph brings his family into Egypt and basically rescues Egypt from famine and brings his family into Egypt. Well, all of a sudden, those people become the Israelites, right? And while they're in Egypt, they just multiply. And they're just taking over Egypt just in population, right? And so... So obviously Joseph dies and nobody remembers Joseph anymore, but the people, his offspring, are just taking over, right? And so the king of Egypt decides that, the ruler of Egypt decides that what he's going to do is he's going to put all these guys into hard labor because we don't want these Israelites to rise up and destroy us and take over. So we're going to put these guys into hard labor. And what happens when they start putting them in real hard labor? They just start growing more. Like the population continues to grow. So then they really come down on them. And this is about the time where Moses is born. And the Pharaoh of that time puts out a decree that all of the young boys, because they don't want them to populate anymore, all the young boys will be killed. Well, some of us remember the story of Moses being put in the river, right, to rescue him. And Moses ends up in the house of Pharaoh and grows up in the house of Pharaoh. And he learns, he goes to all the best schools, right? He goes into, and he's educated through Egypt. And because he's now he's really a prince, if you remember the movie, right? He's a prince of Egypt. He is a prince in Egypt. He's got everything going for him. Everything. Until one day, he sees an Israelite getting beaten by an Egyptian. And he goes over and he kind of breaks it all up and actually ends up killing the Egyptian. And then he sees these two Israelites who are fighting, right? Remember this story? They're on there fighting, and he goes up there and tries to break them up, and they both look at him and go, "Who are you? You think you're a ruler over us?" So now he's hated by the Israelites. Now he's hated by the people of Egypt. But the people of Egypt want him dead because he killed one of the guards. So he flees to Midian. And he's there for a long time. And he goes up to these seven ladies that are trying to get water from a well. And as they're trying to get the water from the well, these shepherds are harassing them and chasing them off and just a mess. And Moses comes in and rescues those girls and shoos those shepherds off. And he goes in there and he rescues those girls and helps them get the water for their cattle. So after that, one of the daughter's father finds out and gives one of the daughters to Moses as a wife. And then Moses gets a job there and is a shepherd. So here's Moses. It's interesting because Moses, who was the prince, right? He was one of the big guys there. He grew up in the house, right, of Pharaoh. He had status. He had money. He had everything he wanted. And next thing you know, he's in Midian running from Egypt with really nothing. He's a shepherd. And what's crazy is the Bible doesn't talk a lot about that time when he's in Midian in those times. It's interesting. It almost seems, as you read it, like he was kind of comfortable there. He was just kind of, he was all right. He was okay. Like things were going good. He's doing a shepherd. He doesn't have the money that he used to have. But he doesn't really seem like he's complaining, but because the Bible said he was there for many, many years. Some say he was there for 40 years. A long time of just being a shepherd. But it's interesting, just as I think about it even right now, it's interesting how that the glimpses of who God called Moses to be was found in the time where he stuck up for the Israelite and when he tried to break up the fight amongst the Israelites. And then when he comes in and he delivers, if you will, those girls from those shepherds. Like you see glimpses of who Moses is supposed to be, but he's perfectly fine being in Midian until one day. And God speaks to him. And that's where we want to pick up the story. And I'm going to read this story out of the Message version. I like to read the Old Testament in the Message version, because it reads more like a story. So I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. I'm just going to go through this scripture. And it says, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, we'll pick up the story from here, where we see that, actually a little bit more. So what happens is Moses is out. We know the story, right? Some of us know the story. They were out and he was walking and he sees this bush, right, that starts burning, but it's not being consumed. Right? So he goes up to it. And he goes up to this bush and he starts looking at it, and all of a sudden, you know, God speaks to him out of the burning bush, right? And he says, you know, "Take off your shoes, right? For the ground you're on is holy," because it's God speaking, right? So he goes on, and here we find, and it's God speaks to him. He says, "You know what? I've heard about the Israelites and what's going on with the Israelites, and they're being abused, right? And they're being taken advantage of, and they're being just oppressed. And God says, looks at Moses and says, I want you to go and deliver them. Look at Moses' response. I love the way this reads. It says, Moses answered God. It says, but why me? What makes you think I could, don't you like the way the message reads? He says, what makes you think I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children out of Egypt? I'll be with you, God says. And this will be proof that I'm the one that sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain. Then Moses says to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, God of your fathers sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? And whoso I say, send them. And God says, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. And God continues with Moses. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent me to you. This has always been my name. And this is how I will always be known. Now be on your way. Gather the leaders of Israel. Tell them God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me saying, I have looked into what's been done to you in Egypt. I have determined to get you out of this the affliction of Egypt and take you to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the other sites, a land brimming with milk and honey. Believe me, listen to God, believe me, they will listen to you. Then the leaders of Israel will go to the king of Egypt and say, God, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take him three days on a journey. So he tells them kind of how to do all this stuff. And then he says in verse 19, he goes on. He says, I know the king of Egypt won't let you go unless you're forced to. So I will intervene and hit Egypt where it hurts. My miracles will send them reeling. I love that. Can you imagine God saying that? That's awesome. After which they will be glad to send you off. When you leave, you won't leave empty-handed. Each woman will ask her neighbor and any guests in her house for objects of silver and gold and jewelry and extra clothes, and you'll put them on your sons and your daughters. Oh, you'll clean the Egyptians out. I love it. So God speaks to Moses. Now think about this. Put yourself in Moses' position. He's pretty comfortable. Matter of fact, a lot of those memories could have been gone of the way what happened in Egypt. He's living his comfortable life. He doesn't have to deal with all the drama, right? He just does. He's married, like, you know, he's married and he's all good. And he's just a shepherd and, man, there's no struggle. There's no... And God says, let's do what he has purposed in his heart to do through you. What has God purposed in the life of Moses to do? Like we said, we saw glimpses of it. But Moses really hasn't fulfilled exactly what God's called him to do. And God gives Moses a chance at a reset. At a chance to change things forever. God gives Moses an opportunity to get away from the mundane and to go and make a difference. But it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him. It's going to cost him his comfort. It's going to challenge his faith, Moses. You know, the problem is we read the story. We know the story, right? We know the other side of the God splitting the sea. We sang about this morning, right? We know that's part of the story. He did split the sea, and all of Israel through Moses' leadership walked right through, right? We know that part of the story. The problem is Moses doesn't know that part of the story right there. He's in the same position as you and I. Man, unsure about the future. God called him to do amazing, incredible things. But are you sure, God? Are you sure? Don't you know who I am? I mean, I know, God, you're the God who knows everything, but I think you're kind of missing it on this one. Do you not understand who I am? I'm just Moses, right? I was a Hebrew living high, you know, we sit down here in the South, high on the hog in Egypt, right? And now I'm being chased, and when I go back, if anybody remembers me, they'll want to kill me. But Moses actually assures him that they're all dead. All those people who wanted you dead, they're all gone. And then Moses has the other excuse, like, I can't really, he says, how do I know? And he goes through this whole story. He gives him a staff. Remember that? He gives Moses a staff. He says, pick up that staff. And he said, and God tells him, throw it down. It turns into a snake. This is still at the burning bush, right? This is still God speaking to him. Yeah. He said, and all of a sudden it burns up. I mean, it turns into a snake. It didn't burn up. It turns into a snake. And then he picks it up and it turns back into a stick, right? And he said, put your hand in your shirt. He puts his hand in his shirt and he pulls out and it's leprous. And when he puts it back in, he said, put it back in and take it back out. And he put it back in and take it back out. It's normal again. He said, now go show the Israelites that. You got any other problems? Oh, yeah, God, I can't speak. I can't speak. You know me, God. You know me. You know I stutter. You know. And then God says, read it. It's amazing. He says, who made your mouth? If I called you to do it, who made your mouth, Moses? I got the ability to fix that for you. And Moses still doesn't believe him. It's amazing. Still doesn't believe him. And God says, go get Aaron, I guess. Do you see what God is doing? Everything that Moses said, I can't do it because, God says, here's my provision for that. Here's my provision for that. Here's my provision for that. Even in his, see, this messes with some of our charismatic doctrine. Even through Moses' doubt, God says, I want you to do this. And you're going to do this. You got any more complaints, Moses? Because we'll take care of those too. It's almost the attitude. That's why I wanted to read it in the message, because it's just so plain. Why do you think I can go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, right? And the key was this. Because God says, I will be with you. God will be with you. But man, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see, man, it was not easy. And there was a lot of trouble. And there was a lot of, I mean, if you really get in here and look at the story of, I don't know how much we'll get into the whole story of deliverance, but my goodness, how many times was it possible in the thought of Moses to quit? And Moses just kept going. Something must have dropped into Moses. I said, man, I can only imagine just from the attitude and what we read from Scripture, it's almost like, all right, God, I guess you're not going to leave me alone about this, but I'll do it. Not even excited really about it. Like, you don't really get that. Here we go, we're going to do it. Like, Moses, that's not Moses at this point. He's just kind of like, okay, whatever you say, God, that's what we're going to do. It's almost like God hit the reset button for him and said, this is what I've asked you to do. I'm going to help you every step of the way to reset you, to be the person that God's intended you to be. Let me drop it a little bit heavier and say this. So the scriptures before that, it talks about the scriptures before we talk about Moses and the burning bush. The scriptures before that say this. It said that the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for deliverance. And the Bible says the Lord heard their cry. Sometimes I wonder for my own self, whose prayer am I an answer to? Whose prayer am I an answer to? Whose prayer are you an answer to? Because because God pulls you into this reset mode. Because God is calling you into, like, it's almost like we have to realize that this stuff is not about us anyway. Remember God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you'll be a blessing, right? You'll be a blessing. I'll bless you to be a blessing. Sometimes we get that all wrong. We think that I want to fulfill my call, right? I want to fulfill my vision. I want to fulfill this thing. I want to do this thing. I want to do great things for God. And you kind of have to ask yourself, so why? Is it so that I can have a great name? Is it so that I can be put my name on a billboard or put your name on a whatever, right? So that people look at you and go, that guy, Mark Dover, oh my gosh, what a godly man. Man, he was a missionary all those years, and now he's turned into this amazing businessman, and just you know, look at. And Mark goes, it's because I fulfilled the call of God on my life. Look at me. It's not about you. Look, you get to know this guy. And it's not about him. It's about his family. It's about other people. Has God blessed him? Absolutely. Has God made Mark's name great? In my eyes, he has. But in Mark's own eyes, it's just because God's great. You see that? You see that switch? You see that turn? Where, say, it's not all about me. Whose prayer are you an answer to? Because you hit the reset button. See, it's a bigger picture than just us. See, our reward really is in heaven. Our true reward. Matter of fact, Jesus said it like this. If you've already, you know, made your own name great and you've done it, well, God said, there's your reward. Congratulations. I had a lot better for you in heaven. But that's it. Go ahead, take it. God says, great is your reward in heaven. Reset. Reset. The thing I want to talk about, the first point really this morning, is where is God asking you to reset? What is that? Maybe it's your walk with God. Maybe some of you've been a Christian a long time, and you remember some of those good old days. You remember some of those good old days. You remember some of those good old days where man, you sought after God, and now you've kind of gone into, you kind of relate to Moses, right? You're doing some good stuff. Probably a good husband. Probably a good, you know, like Moses, probably a good husband, probably a good, you know, you're doing all the things that you know that you're supposed to do, and, you know, you're probably a really good shepherd. I'm sure Moses was a phenomenal shepherd, I guess. But it's not really going where you thought it was going to go. My challenge for you is this. What direction is God asking you to go in? I'm not saying what everybody else's expectations are for you. I know people that are, I'll be honest, you got your hands full with your own family. People got their hands full with their own stuff that is going on, and God's called you to continue to push through and do. It's not about always the ministry, right? Maybe it's your a new day for you and a job. What has God called for you in a job? Maybe what has God asked you to do? And then what's the pursuit of that? The next steps? Maybe it is ministry. Maybe God's called you to a deeper walk with Him. And God wants you to be a part of pushing forward the kingdom of God in a greater way this next year. Maybe that's where you're at. See, I can't tell you. That's between you and God. But what I can tell you is this, that I believe God's speaking to every one of us in different areas. Scripture tells us that we're all growing from glory to glory. We're all changing. What new direction are you going in this year? What things are stirring on the inside of you is better. Not just what you want. What are things are stirring on the inside of you this year? And I challenge you to go for it. But God, I can't do this. Just tell God that. And you know what? Maybe God will provide those provisions for you. Take that back. He will provide those provisions for you. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about this. Next week, I'm going to talk about the subject of faith and how faith works in all these things and what our response is when God gives us direction and what our response is and how we can believe God for great things. I don't believe there's a normal person. This is going to sound crazy. I don't believe there's a normal person in this room. Take that the way you want. If the shoe fits, wear it, right? I don't believe that. I believe there's extraordinary people in this room. I believe there's people with passion and purpose burning on the inside of you. I believe there's things that God's put on the inside of you that God wants to explode on the outside of you. Listen, there's more in you than you know. There's more in you. Some of you sense it. You sense it. You sense down and deep. There's more to what God's called me to do than what I'm doing at this part in my life. And I want to challenge you. I believe that that's true. It may not look like anything that anybody else is doing, which is probably the best, because God's made you, you, and particularly you for a purpose that only you can fulfill. Some of you have been a Christian a long time, and maybe your deal is you just need to pull somebody aside and maybe mentor them. You pull them aside and just say, hey, there's been things in my life that I want to pour out into somebody else's life. So the things that God's put in you, you know, I'm going to be 50 in like 2 years. So there's people in here, they're going, oh man, you're such a young buck. And there's some of you who say, wow, gosh, oh my gosh, that was, you know, 50 years. Hope Jesus comes back before I turn 50. You know, one of those. But see, there's people all over the, but you know, if you've been past 50, you remember, right? You remember those thoughts where you go, wait, time out. This doesn't last forever? This doesn't last forever. Like, there is an end to this life, right? And maybe those things that God has put in you, it's time to put into others by mentorship. There's people who don't know some of the things that you know. They need to grow into some of the things that you've already done. And maybe you don't need a pulpit. Maybe you need a table and a cup of coffee. And you can mentor somebody and help somebody and help somebody grow and learn some of the things that you've learned. It's a biblical principle. Yeah, Craig, come on up. Rachel, you hand him. Just for you don't know, this is Craig. He's one of our advisors here at the church.
Testing. Yeah. Every once in a blue moon, the Spirit starts moving. It's a powerful message. I preached a message once similar to this. It's called "It's Time to Leave Midian," mm-hmm. and I got chill bumps. The word Midian, what he's talking about, he was exactly right, because Moses is over there. He's comfortable, loving life, just like Pastor's saying, everything's good in Midian. But did you know the word Midian? You know what it means? It means strife. So here he is, he's comfortable, and he's in strife, in contention, in dispute, in disagreement. Why? He was in that, what Pastor was saying. He's comfortable over there, but he's not, because it's like us. We get comfortable where we're at. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing this morning. Oh, my goodness. We get comfortable where we are. And God's not called us to be comfortable where we are. Mm-hmm. He's called us to step out. We get comfortable there, but the Spirit of God is stirring us, saying, you've got to step out of this Midian. It's time to leave this place.
Yes, yes.
It's
yes.
Time to go where God's called you to go.
Right.
Well, God, I can't talk, just like he's saying. I can't do. I can't. Yes, you can. If God calls, yes, you can. And here's the beauty of God. He's going to call you when you have zero ability to do it, mm-hmm. because it's his ability, not yours.
Right, that's right.
So it's time to leave the strife, because really you do have strife inside of you, because although you're comfortable deep down in your spirit, deep down if you want to go there, you know that there's really contention and disagreement and dispute inside you going, I'm really not fulfilling what the pastor's talking about, my call, or whatever God's called me to do. If it's maybe not a pulpit, but it's sitting around, your pulpit is a coffee place, your place is a place of business. Some of you, God's called you, listen. Some of you, maybe God's saying, it's time to change that job you've been comfortable in for so long, and I've been calling you to do something different.
Yeah.
There's a call on your life for God, and listen, only you can fulfill it. And I don't have to go where that is. You know what I'm saying in your spirit. Don't be afraid to go there.
Amen.
And trust the Lord, because let me tell you something. The strife over here is not worth what you're going to get here. Are you going to? Is it going to be trouble maybe falling on God? Is it easy? Pastor will tell you it's not easy. But the peace that you have and the fulfillment that you have in doing what he's talking about, following God where he's called you to do and what he's called you to do, well outweighs the disputes and the disagreements that you have over here in Midian.
That's really good. That's really good. That's really good, Craig. Amen. Whew. Amen, Craig. That was really good. Actually, now you're all sitting. Why don't you come up to the front? Once you come up, you and the worship team, come on up. Hallelujah, God. You're so good. Before I get into our prayer, I neglected to say that my sister is here today. My sister, Lisa. Wave, Lisa. That's my sister. That's my... and her kids, Jonathan, Jeff, and Joseph. And they're great too. They're waving at all those guys. Those are awesome. Let me just say, phenomenal young men. Every one of them. Phenomenal young men. Listen, full of character, just full of, and have a long lost art of respect and, what's the word? Being civil. What do you call it? That's, yes, thank you. Chivalry. Great, outstanding young man. And Herschel is with him, a friend of my sister's. Herschel, I've known Herschel for a long time. Paramedic, he's a great guy too. Thank you guys for being here, so good. I'm just my sister's little brother. Let's all stand up together.
Hardest jobs that any pastor's got is to make people uncomfortable being comfortable.
That's the truth.
It's family. It's good. I love you. You've shown your love to me and my wife. And we can't wait to see each other when we come in. But God wants to stir this place up in a different way this year. He wants to bring new things. New things to you. New people to this place. New ministries, new outreaches. So he don't want you to be comfortable being comfortable. So me, he gave me a heart attack. He allowed that.
Sure.
He allowed that. We have, Linda and I, wanted to go toward a hospitality ministry for the last several years. And God arranged circumstances. Scary circumstances. After they knock you out doing that heart thing, your brain just doesn't even work right. You have the fear you're never going to be able to think right. You're not going to be able to cope. things. Being a man that labored with his hands all his life, you need to get a new profession. Yesterday I bought a new phone, a new computer, and a new drone to go into a new business so that my wife and I can do the hospitality ministry. So that's all I have to say, Pastor. I just don't want you to be comfortable being comfortable. And this man loves you, and he wants God to work you over. Come on, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah, bow your heads with me. Rick's right on. I love that, Craig. Come out of Midian. It's time for some of us to come out of Midian. It's time for us to be the people that God's called us to be. And be uncomfortable. And not live for this life, but live for a greater cause. And maybe it is a new job, maybe it's a new a relationship, or maybe it's new whatever God puts in your heart. It's going to be uncomfortable, like Rick said. It's not going to be easy. But just like God spoke to Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Don't worry. And I'll show you I'll be with you. With Moses, it was with the stick, and with the miracles and the signs and the wonders. But God will show himself strong on your behalf every step of the way. So God, we look to you this morning. God, we ask, God, ask for a reset. For 2018, God, we don't want 2018 to look like 2017 in many ways. God, I thank you, Father, that when we choose and say yes to you, God, it's not us leading us down that path. God, it's you leading us down that road. So God, when we say yes to you, God, we submit our lives to you. And I think it would be fitting on the last day of this year just to recommit your life back to the Lord. It's you and him. Maybe with your Bible reading, with your seeking after God, maybe even your service to God. God, we thank you. God, as we step out. God, as we surrender this morning. We won't be controlled by fear. But God, we'll walk right into what you've called us to do. God, we thank you. Just right there with just you and him. Asking you to walk in. Maybe God will speak to you that. If he does, just answer him and just say, I'll do it. Here I am, Lord, send me. This is what I'll do.
Child.
submit our lives to you. As this year closes, God, we look forward to a new year with a new day, with a new season of our lives. And we run to it, God. We run with expectation, knowing, God, that you are there with us.